Financial legislation changes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective in just a moment. But first, proposed financial reform in this country was supposed to be paid for with a $19 billion tax on big banks. But in an effort to secure support, lawmakers changed the measure last night to satisfy GOP senators who were opposed to that tax. Now, if the bill becomes law, it'll be mostly paid for out of the Troubled Asset Relief Program and the FDIC Insurance Fund. And now, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. The European Central Bank, the ECB, just completed an important move to fund 171 banks in Europe. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London to help us understand what that means. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So we know investors have been worried about the health of banks there in Europe. How much did they borrow from the ECB?
Well, just $160 billion. Now, let me explain this. The European Central Bank has been propping up the European banking system, providing billions of dollars worth of emergency credit. But it wants to start weaning the banks off that credit to get them to stand on their own 2 feet. So it has said that tomorrow it's going to refuse to renew more than $500 billion worth of one-year loans. Instead, it says the banks can have cash for a shorter term, 3 months. Well, today they open that window and the banks ask for just $160 billion, much less than expected.
And that seems like good news, no?
The markets certainly seem to think so. European bank stocks are up this morning and the euro jumped more than 0.5%. Yes, this does suggest European banks are not as badly off as strapped for cash as many people had feared. But we've seen many false dawns before. And one analyst I spoke to this morning said to fully restore confidence in the European system, we're going to have to see all the results of those European bank stress tests, which won't be due out until the end of July.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's check numbers. Yeah, Stephen mentioned European stocks are a little higher right now, about 0.5% or more. But boy, yesterday stocks tanked here at home. The Nasdaq plunged nearly 4%. The S&P at its lowest level since October. The Dow gave back 2.5%, 268 points to close at 98.70. And Asian markets were lower today. Not as bad, though, about 1% across the board. It's expected to be the world's largest stock offering. The Agricultural Bank of China plans to list on the Chinese exchanges next month. Today, the bank's CEO is in London trying to whip up support. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports for Marketplace.
The Agricultural Bank of China has come a long way from its humble origins. It was set up in 1951 to lend money to China's poor rural farmers. But today, people in Hong Kong were queuing up to register their interest in some of the $23 billion of shares the bank plans to sell. And substantial amounts have already been pledged by banks in the UK and the Middle East. But Daniel Rosen from the Rhodium Group in New York says the main customers will come from inside China itself.
Its first and foremost audience is the domestic audience. A big part of the demand for the shares of the Agricultural Bank of China will be subscribed by domestic institutional investors, not just by foreign ones.
This is the last of China's big state-owned banks to go public, but there's some concern it could also be the weakest. Most of its customers are less affluent and live in the countryside, and returns on its loans are lower than those made to customers in the cities. But the bank insists the business will benefit as rural incomes and economic growth in the less developed areas grow. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender. Monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
India lost 10 million jobs in the country's recession last year. But even though the economy's rebounding, there are still too few jobs for the country's unemployed. Raymond Thibodeau reports from New Delhi. Competition in the job market's pretty tough.
Delhi's main railway station is always packed with people. Travelers rush to catch their trains, usually trailed by porters that they've hired to carry their luggage. Outside, a husband and wife haggle with one of the porters, better known here as coolies. The haggling ends, and a coolie named Gabru Khan lifts two overstuffed suitcases onto his head. He sets off for the train platform with the family. Khan says he has a master's degree in Sanskrit. He wanted to be a teacher, but he ended up a coolie. S.K. Sharma is a commercial inspector at this station. He says there are more and more people like Khan in India who can't find the white-collar jobs they dreamed of and have to apply for menial jobs.
There are so many people who have no employment that this is the best course to get work.
Sharma says many of India's 100,000 licensed coolies were drawn to the job because it pays as much as $300 a month, well above India's average of $60 a month. And it comes with benefits like free medical care and free rail transport.
In these days,
more highly educated people are taking this job.
India's railway system gets at least 30 applications for every coolie job it advertises. And the selection process isn't easy. There's a medical exam, a police background check, and a test to show that they can carry nearly 90 pounds on their heads for the length of 2 football fields.
Welcome to New Delhi.
And they must attend courtesy training classes like this one to learn how to deal with foreigners. Anant Swarup is spokesman for India's Northern Railways. He says many coolies are from India's rural areas.
Most of your GDP growth comes from services. So it is but natural that there is a general shift from agriculture to services. And being a licensed porter is also a part of service.
That is, if you get the job. Still, he says being a coolie for India's railway offers one thing many Indians don't often find in the private sector these days, job security. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And finally, there are a ton of music festivals going on these days, except after days of dancing and digging live tunes, where do you juice up your dead cell phone? You can't just plug in the middle of a field. Well, there's a company in Europe that's developing a set of Wellington boots with a power-generating sole. It converts heat from walking into electrical power. Only problem, you got to walk 12 hours for just an hour's charge. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.